Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Probably not going to affect anybody right away, but there is a pretty substantial storm stretching all the way from northern Mississippi all the way sort of west-northwest across Arkansas through Oklahoma up into, my geography, Kansas, I guess. As I'm looking at the map, bring back grade school. Huge storm. I was telling John this morning that, if this were coming here, this would be the only thing we'd be talking about. Massive storm, lots of lightning. Anyway, just to be aware that that's going on. Of course, the big news story yesterday, horrible, terrible national news story having to do with the shooting at the Catholic school. And you had two children killed and 17 people wounded, and just an awful, awful incident taking place in Minneapolis. The thing that everybody wants to know is, how can we prevent such a thing? And so in that connection, what people talk about is, what were the factors around the incident? The shooter's mom worked at the school previously. The shooter, the killer, the murderer, pick your term, I don't care. The terrorist went to the school in the past. This murderer, this transgender, apparently, right? A boy who thinks he's a girl. 23? Is that what we decided, John? I was trying to look it up. I just couldn't remember offhand. A shotgun, a pistol, and a rifle, all purchased legally. No prior incidents with the law. Hated Jews, thought that 6 million was a good start for Hitler. Hated Trump, wrote on the rifle, or at least one of them, kill President Trump. A note to the parents that said, I'm sorry for the pain and suffering that I've put you and the rest of my family through. You didn't raise me wrong. These are the things. The one observation I would make, I guess I'm going to have several. One is, we want to control the world. Everybody wants to control the world. Everybody wants to make the world predictable. Everybody wants to make the world wonderful. Well, most people want to make the world wonderful. You want a world you understand. You want a world that you can control, that you can keep your family safe in. That world doesn't exist. That world's never existed. It's a very human thing to want to have a safe, predictable, understandable world that does what we want it to do and doesn't shock us. Even God doesn't get the world he wants. God wanted a world where people did what he wanted them to do and were good to each other and kind and loving. And, he's far more powerful than you are and far more knowledgeable than you are. And he gets a world that's terrible, basically, right? So it shouldn't really surprise us, but it always does, that we live in a world where horrible, terrible things we don't want to have happen all the time. Now, that doesn't excuse those things. It doesn't justify those things. It doesn't make those things hurt any less when they happen. But we shouldn't really be surprised. Terrible, horrible, awful things don't really need explaining they just are as a product of the fallen world we live in. And I know that this probably seems like a very sort of abstract way of looking at the problem. But the way we process these kinds of events is we try to pigeonhole them into some kind of a cause and effect situation where we feel powerful because we can say something like this. Well, if we would only make those kinds of weapons illegal. If we would have better mental health checks. If we would put more security at our schools. If we didn't have, probably somebody doesn't say it, but you'll understand what I mean. If instead of stained glass, we had bulletproof glass. You know, if we had better security. If we did a better job of identifying people who had scary journals and weird drawings. If we did more investigation of people who had gender dysphoria. I mean, what we're wanting in all this is we're wanting to find some kind of a root explanation that'll give us the chance to take action so we can make sure this doesn't happen again in the future. And, of course, you know, culture and politics and philosophy and all of these things are largely, science is largely about looking for those explanations. There's nothing wrong in looking for those explanations. But the premise that we can solve it all if only we did better at blank is an error. God does better at blank than all of us all the time. And he hasn't solved it, you know? And the reason this is kind of on my mind, obviously because of this incident, but I keep thinking about the fact that this murderer identified as a woman, was transgender. And I keep thinking about how that's been the dominant facet of this story for the last day. That's probably the fact about this murderer that everybody knows over any other fact. But so what? Does being transgender make you violent, nihilistic, anti-Semitic? I mean, does it being anti-Semitic make you transgender? Does having the total disconnect that you want to kill children, but you're worried that your parents and siblings are going to suffer psychological harm because you make this choice. I mean, how do you make sense of that? Well, you can't. There's just evil in the world. There's psychosis in the world. And the causal factors of, again, you know, how is transgenderism connected to this? Well, what percentage of transgender people go buy guns and murder others? Well, like any other factor, what percentage of redheads? He's a redhead. He's a redhead. Are redheaded people more prone to this? Are white people more? He's white. He was raised Catholic. Are Catholics more prone to this? You know, his mother worked at the school. Are people whose mothers work at Catholic schools more prone to this? He's apparently anti-Semitic. I mean, based on all the statements, that's the only way you classify it. But he also said there's no ideology involved. People are going to try to assign it to certain things, and there's no explanation. He just wants to do violence. So I say that because it's very human to want to explain it. It's very human to want to feel like, and this, you know, at least as far back as Nietzsche, who said that, you know, we name things in order to feel that we're in control of them. We name things in order to feel power over them. There's no power over a lot of the stuff that happens in the world. It's just a terrible, horrible, awful place a lot of the time. And a beautiful, wonderful, amazing, rewarding place a lot of the time. Whenever tragedy strikes and, you know, whenever atrocity strikes, this, I tend to use the distinction, the tragedy is something that happens to us and an atrocity is something that somebody does. We all want to just wish that if only we knew more, did more, thought better, prayed harder, those kind of things wouldn't happen. And the Bible verse that I always think of in this context is, you know, Jesus, when he was on the earth, he says the Tower of Siloam that fell on those people, do you think those people were more wicked than anybody else? And the people that Herod slaughtered and mixed their blood with the sacrifice, you think those people were more wicked? You know, this, we want to believe that some, you know, there's debauchery on Bourbon Street, and therefore you get Katrina. Nonsense. I mean, theodicy is nonsense. Anyway, so it may not be the most comforting of monologues, you know, but if I had an answer, I'd give you the answer. I mean, I don't give you the answer for me, which is, and so I'd pray and have faith and believe in God and, you know, still try to teach my kids to do the right things, knowing that a lot of parents try to teach their kids to do the right things, and then some of those kids grow up to do horrible things. Most of them don't. You know, this person killed 2 people, wounded 17. Vladimir Putin has killed millions. Well, hundreds of thousands of people, right? So what's the connection between this? Well, Vladimir Putin is, you know, a white Christian male. He didn't go do it at a church where the kids were praying. But what's he done to Ukraine that's, I mean, far worse than this? You know, members of Hamas killed grandmothers and children at a music festival in Israel. You get what I'm saying? Like, humans do evil. Their skin's brown. His skin was white. What's the explanation? You know, in Rwanda, they slaughter people because they're the wrong tribe. I know it's not uplifting, but the problem of human evil is not going to be solved by going behind a podium and telling people that, you know, banning guns will solve it, or frankly, putting the Ten Commandments in school is going to solve it, or the, you know, like all the different things that we offer as a way of trying to solve it. There's no solving it. There's managing it, working on some of the symptoms, trying to do better all the time, and we should be dedicated to that. I'm not, and I know it probably sounds like I'm saying, oh, you just have to accept it. This is the stuff that happened. I'm not even saying that. I'm just trying to put some perspective around when these things happen, how we respond, how the news covers this kind of stuff, and some of the, I don't know, just be honest about the world we live in and think a little more and, you know, don't rush to the conclusion that because certain features of this person fit a narrative of something that you dislike or don't understand, that that's the explanation for it. Because you'll find, you know, far more examples of the same kind of evil done by people who don't share that feature. And then you'll find millions of examples of people with those features who didn't do any violence at all. There are just monsters in the world. We try our best not to make them. We try to identify them before they do bad things. And, you know, we fail. 523 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Let's go. You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at vaxassist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Let's go. This is the story of the one. As a lineman, he does whatever it takes to keep the power on in his community. And he wants a partner like Grainger who does the same. Grainger offers the professional-grade products he needs, from voltage detectors to harnesses to hard hats, plus fast, dependable delivery, so he can rise to every challenge. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Seminole fans, your chance to win tickets to Florida State University home games is coming soon. Right here on News Radio 92.3.
So why are you doing this?
Because you can't win, Rock. This guy will kill you to death inside of 3 rounds.
Good morning, 524 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Fired CDC Director Susan Monterez says she isn't planning to step down. Monterez had been on the job for 2 weeks when HHS posted on X that she was no longer the CDC's director. Hours later, attorneys for Monterez said she's neither resigned nor been told by the White House that she's been fired. Police say a 12-year-old that went missing in Louisiana died from blunt force injuries after drowning after an alligator attack. Brian Vasquez's body was found in a lagoon earlier this week. The Cajun Navy helped lead the search and brought him home. And a New York judge has now dismissed a sexual assault lawsuit against Sean Diddy Combs. It's been ruled the case didn't move forward because the alleged 2015 incident falls outside of the statute of limitations.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. Somebody texts me and says, everybody is going to have an opinion, but the shocking part when you think about trans people is the hormones, the antipsychotics, the anxiety, the antidepressants. There's been several other transgender mass shooters. And what percentage of them are trans would be surprising. And there's actually part of the story, I think it was on the Channel 3 coverage of this, but it might have been one of the other ones. I don't know. You read several news sources and eventually it doesn't so much matter who said it, but that there's a police organization that's trying to get information about that in order to see if there is any connection between the two things. And hey, I'm all fine with looking for connections. I'm all fine with looking for root causes because, for example, if you could connect, antisocial behavior with some common element of drug protocol, I mean, that would be useful because maybe we would stop prescribing those drugs, right? I mean, or to young people. Just don't assume it. Don't assume it. And don't jump to the conclusion because the easiest thing in the world is to, blame things that we think are weird or we don't understand or we don't like or whatever and just saying, just be cautious about that. Be very cautious about that. 527 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What else do we have going on? Gosh, lots of stuff in the news. The FCC, I'm going to call this one good news. We need some good news today. I'm going to call this one good news. The FCC has now barred over 1,000 basically robocall organizations from being able to connect to the phone system. This is way beyond my knowledge in terms of how this is even possible, but basically they're supposed to register with or be in compliance with the robocall database, the robocall mitigation database, and they didn't. And so the FCC says you're out. 1,200 non-compliant voice service providers have been basically kicked off the island. Good. Good. Now get the rest of them. there's just, robocalls have changed. I don't know about you. For me, they've changed the way I deal with my phone. If it's from an area code that's not the same as my phone, I have the luxury of having a non-850 area code on my cell phone, which is wonderful because, I know that 850 calls are actually for me, whereas calls that come in from my phone's area code, I'm like, there's nobody calling me from Scottsdale, Arizona. I know better. Come on. So where I used to live, that's where we got our cell phones, and I've had them ever since for, 20 years now. Same phone number for 20 years. I'll never change it. I still to this day, every once in a while, I get calls looking for Tracy, who used to be the HR manager at some company that prior to me had this phone number. And I still to this day get calls, hey, is Tracy there?
Well, did you not say that is me? How can I help you?
I don't play that game.
Come on, man. I do.
But I
love it.
But I will say that when, if I ever pick up a phone call that I don't know who it is. Not in my bet. It's not 850, and it's not in my phone. I think, well, it could be anybody calling me. And then there's always that, you know,
pause,
third of a second pause, yeah, and a click. I'm done. I hang up right then. I don't even wait, because you know what it is. Now, I suppose at some point they're going to become a little bit more savvy, and that problem will have been solved technologically. But it ruins phones. It does. Just, you know, like sort of like door-to-door sales ruins your front door. It just makes it so you don't even want to answer the door. And I used to always answer the door, and over the last about 10 years, I don't even answer the door anymore for people. I just, you know, yeah, I'm here. Go away. I don't know who you are. I don't want to talk to you.
I know. I knocked on your door, and you didn't really answer.
Well, I did know you were there.
Oh, okay.
And I knew it was you.
Well, I tried.
So, 437-1620, 437-1620. By the way, on that whole, like, you know, transgender and hormones and all that kind of stuff, don't assume that's an explanation. Don't assume it's not an explanation. You know, look. Seriously, look. You've got to be willing to, you know, consider the possibility that something that you're not supposed to look at might be related. And you're also supposed to be aware of the possibility that something that, you know, you want to assume is related isn't. That's the whole idea of looking at it scientifically, right?
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. A vigil was held in Minneapolis last night to remember the 8 and 10-year-old kids that were shot and killed while they prayed in church during the first week of school. Fox's Lucas Tomlinson has the latest.
The shooter was born Robert Westman, but changed his name to Robin 6 years ago. The shooting began during a school-wide mass, marking the beginning of the school year at around 8:30 local time yesterday morning. The shooter opened fire with a rifle, shotgun, and pistol, all legally purchased weapons, according to police.
17 other people were hurt. The shooter killed himself. The White House says it fired Susan Menares, the new director of the CDC, but her lawyers say that's not the case. She reportedly clashed with HHS Secretary RFK Jr. over vaccine policy. He tried to remove her. She refused to resign. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got a beautiful morning, clear skies, 65 degrees here in Pensacola today. Well, the Boots store in Pensacola asking the community for help after three individuals reportedly stole several pairs of boots yesterday morning. Surveillance footage captured the incident. It only lasted 10 minutes.
Went in the aisles, found the boots they were wanting. Had a tool they took out of their pocket and snipped the tags off and walked right back out the door.
Assistant manager Heather DeCesaro talked to Channel 3. She reviewed those tapes and says the suspects took over $1,000 worth of boots, including a custom pair valued at nearly $700. DeCesaro says she's hoping the thieves will return the stolen items and explain their actions, but she says if they don't, they could face jail time. The store is now enhancing their security measures and adding more security tags to items. Well, the free student-run mental health clinic called Pensacola Mental Health Services will be opening in Escambia and Santa Rosa County soon. The clinic connects the University of West Florida master's students with patients that are in need of care. They'll provide free care for the community, and the students get clinical experience. Founder Dr. Kimberly Gerlich says the clinic has already filled its first 2 weeks of appointments. Of course, that reflects the high demand for services in the area, where nearly 5,000 mental health calls were reported in 2023 alone. PMHS can address depression and anxiety issues. They'll serve clients ages 5 and up. Well, help for veterans needing benefits is now available. News Radio's Chris Bryan has the story. He says the process is simple and easy.
The Escambia County Veterans Services Office is providing assistance at no charge to veterans looking to receive free benefits. Well, they're now available. No appointments required. Call 850-595-2409, or you can visit VSO at myescambia.com. Or if you want to do it in person, here's the address, 3363 West Park Place in the Escambia County Central Office Complex. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thanks, Chris. Alligator Alcatraz will be empty soon. That's at least according to Florida Division of Emergency Management Director Kevin Guthrie. He wrote an email to South Florida's Interfaith interfaith community. And according to ABC News, he wrote, quote, "We are probably going to be down to zero individuals within a few days." A federal judge denied a request yesterday to keep the facility in the Everglades open. Federal and state officials issued that request after the same judge ruled last week that the facility needs to close. The judge said the government couldn't prove the facility was necessary to ease overcrowding, and said that its claims that closing would be costly were only speculative. It's 5:34 here at News Radio 92.3, and right now we've got 65 degrees in Pensacola, 63 in Milton, 72 the hot spot in Gulf Breeze this morning. Our next news at 6, we've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The FDA has approved updated COVID-19 vaccines for the upcoming fall and winter season for some Americans. The Pfizer BioNTech vaccine has been approved for use in adults aged 65 and older, and for those between the ages of 5 and 64 with at least one underlying condition that puts them at high risk for severe COVID. NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang has dismissed concern about an end to a spending boom on artificial intelligence chips, projecting opportunities will expand into a multi-trillion dollar market over the next 5 years. Huang sought to reassure investors rattled by indications of slowing growth at the chipmaker at the center of the investment frenzy. A Google executive has told employees that in the past year, the company has gotten rid of a third of its managers overseeing small teams. CEO Sundar Pichai said, "We have to be more efficient as we scale up so we don't solve everything with headcount." Futures are currently mixed. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 147. That's Your Money Now.
Join Stefan Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Looking for a stylish way to promote your brand or celebrate a special occasion? Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze now offers custom hats, a new addition to their lineup of custom and promotional items. From corporate logos to personalized designs, these hats are perfect for businesses, events, team gear, or one-of-a-kind gifts. Prim and Proper is still your go-to for custom engraving and unique gifts. From personalized drinkware to engraved home decor, every item is crafted with care by their in-house experts. Visit primandproper.com for more.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Join the Red Flamingo Foundation Thursday night from 6 till 10 at Hub Stacy's downtown for live music, great food, and community as they raise awareness for mental health. Saturday morning from 8:30 to 10, join the Navarre Beach Sea Turtle Conservation Center for Shark School. Learn about the vital role in keeping our Gulf healthy. For info and to pre-purchase $15 tickets, see NavarreBeachSeaTurtles.org. Find more events and submit yours at NewsRadio923.com.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 538 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, we had a good conversation with Mayor D.C. Reeves about a bunch of things. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me, Andrew.
Great to have you. But I want to talk about something that is not at the top of most anybody's priority list, but it's important to me, and we failed to talk about it last week, so I want to make sure and get it done first so I don't forget again.
All right.
The inland port concept as, like, what is, I think I understand what this is going to do, but you tell me, what is the purpose of taking a swath of land somewhere in the city and creating basically an auxiliary port area?
Exactly. It can be confusing. As a matter of fact, I believe there were some local officials 10 years ago when this first conversation came up and said, well, how are you going to build a canal all the way to the bay from this inland port?
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh, but right. Okay. Yeah.
No, it's, I mean, it can be kind of confusing to understand what's an inland port. It's almost an oxymoron, right? What it really
so
is,
am I to understand that you plan to build a canal? Is that what you're saying here on the show?
Yeah, it's going to be called the McKay Canal.
Oh, know, nice.
all the way to the bay.
With a kayak launch, right?
Well, for sure. Yeah, of course. But an inland port, what it really does is it allows us to have port uses, port activity in places that are in less prime locations. And if you think about Pensacola's port, we're very unique in the fact of how small we are. We're 50 acres in the heart of a downtown. And so here's this prime property. Now, if we had 1,000 acres on a port, then maybe the uses aren't as important, or the storage capacity isn't as vital. But considering the fact that we only have 50 acres, why not have more port property where we can kind of kill two birds with one stone? We can still serve as storage for things like that, but then use that very finite property on the water for people who really need that primary water usage. So that's what the important thing is, in our opinion. And so it just gives us more options. It allows us to create more jobs and gives us more flexibility to do some of those activities that can be done inland. And so in inland, really the two principal functions is not only is it more – it's acreage, right, just storage, places to put things, and potentially buildings and jobs. But additionally, you have a transfer there. You know, it's obviously the plan so that you would be able to train and.
So what I'm confused about, though, is why does it need to be a part of the port? What advantages confer from that? Why can't it just be like the storage facility? I mean, it just can be a plot of land with some fence. You know what? It would seem like you guys are smart. There's got to be some additional benefit. I mean, is it a customs benefit? Is it a duty? What is the value of it being a port thing?
It's really the other thing, the customary needs and clearances of doing port type activity. And so keeping that consistent versus just having, you know, what's the difference between that and the city's laydown yard, right?
I mean, right,
in terms
exactly.
of security, in terms of fencing, in terms of things like that. So there's just certain standards and protocols that are going to be needed for businesses to be able to use it. Could think about it this way. Why is GE using the port for storage? It isn't that they can't find a big parking lot somewhere and rent it from someone, but it's got security. It's got certain clearances. It's got all of those different things that allow them to have a seamless transition, customs, as you said, those types of things. So it has the same amenities that are needed from a security standpoint and a kind of doing business standpoint that the port has. It just wouldn't be located directly on the water.
Well, hey, if it facilitates port profits and if it facilitates the business being done by GE Vernova and others, and it somehow works through the security and customs process in order to make that happen, I'm all happy for it. I mean, I'm eager for it.
Exactly. That's right.
I do have a sort of, you know, critics question that is, it's not necessarily my question, but I think it's a question that comes up that some people might have, which is, okay, I hear you, but if you take the land that is currently being used this way on the port and you free it up and take all of those laid down storage kind of capacities and push them off somewhere else inland, do you not also run the risk of basically turning the port into kind of a land opportunity for developers? You know, the long time concern that people have is that they're going to basically destroy the port or, you know, really cut it down and turn it into high rises or something like that. Cole, I laid out the nightmare scenario of sorts, you know, the people who are always worried that the port's going to get turned over to developers or something like that. And I hear in my brain their voice, which is, well, it sounds like this is facilitating maybe not an entire project like that, because why build an inland port if you're going to get rid of the port? But an inland port would at least free up some land that maybe could be developed, which is exactly what they've been chomping at to get for forever. Your thoughts?
Sure. Well, first of all, if that were the case, storing the cells would not be the thing that would be stopping that. So I just want to be clear as an alibi. In other words,
gotcha.
The minute amount of money of surface storage on the parking lot would not be the hindrance like a multi-year lease would be. So to disprove that point, if that was the undermining effort, then nothing about an inland port or a lack of an inland port would stop that effort.
So, got it.
But that isn't what we're doing. At the end of the day, what we want is there are certain uses, i.e. American magic, i.e. conversations that we can't tell you who yet, type of conversations with potential enormous job creators here and potentially in the DoD space, that would want that finite property because they would have to have access to the water. GE doesn't, a nacelle doesn't need access to the water. So it's just about putting all of our puzzle pieces in the right locations to be successful. And I've said that about the port since before I took this job. When you have a 50-acre port, this is not Savannah. This is not LA, where you've got acres and acres of cargo type activity. You've got to be, if we want this thing to shine and maximize its potential, we have to be very smart and strategic about every single acre, every single square foot of this property because of its location. So, and because of its size. So what just store it, I mean, put it this way, put it simply, if we can store stuff that doesn't need water access, if we can still do it as a port function, but not give up and not waste that valuable space to be able to put another job creator, another tenant, another warehouse like that on port, then why wouldn't we do that? You know, I mean, that's really the way to look at it. That's what the value of the inland port is let's do the easier stuff, the simpler stuff somewhere else, still keep the revenue, still have the business, and then allow things that can't be done inland to happen on our port, you know, in terms of job creation.
And, you know, people may not realize, it's understandable they don't know, but for the longest time, Gulf Power and I guess FPL was using some of the facilities on the port just for like parts storage, you know, like just in that building. It was
right,
just for,
exactly.
You know, for, I mean, the most low grade use, but it was a way to make a little bit of money. And, you know, those are the kinds of things that have been done historically. So I love your answer. What I hear you saying is, there's a deal in the works that you can't tell me about, DOD, that is going to bring a lot of jobs and a lot of revenue here. We're very excited about it. Trust me, this is good for us. If that doesn't materialize, this is extra super good for us if any of that stuff does materialize. And okay, I can take that. You know, plus the McKay Canal excites me.
Exactly.
The Black Lives Matter mural, I know in the grand scheme of things, it's not all that significant, but, you know, these are the things that capture people's attention. You said that Cervantes would have to be closed, and that's a state road, and you guys don't have the resources under the time frame of September 4th to get this done. But do we know ballpark what the cost is going to be? Because we assume that if FDOT does it and charges you, it's going to cost more than if the city did it through their own resources.
Yeah, it's funny. I've seen that wild assumption mentioned online, too. You know, well, definitely going to cost more if it's FDOT. Well, FDOT has more equipment and more employees at the ready than we do, and so I wouldn't assume that. And that's why we don't mention it's not cost. We've said we will take the cost. It's on a city street. That's not an issue. But my conversation on Sunday with FDOT was, look, you know, if this is going to happen in 8 days and we've got to, you know, we're not Tampa, we're not Orlando in terms of the size of our public work staff. And then secondly, I don't think it would be a full closure. I'm not saying it would be a full closure, Cervantes, but you are going to absolutely close turn lanes and approaches off Cervantes.
Sure.
You have to. I mean, you couldn't have people turning south on the A Street coming east or west. So there'd be partial closures of Cervantes, no doubt about it. And frankly, this area butts up to your road, the state road. And so, you know, we don't want to, you know, what's the right color paint you want us to use? What's the right size turn lane? I mean, in my mind, what really triggered saying, hey, FDOT, fine, we are absolutely going to comply, but can you just help us out? And from a resource standpoint, we'll pay the bill. But was the timeline. That's what my concern was, is to say, hey, it needs to be done in 8 days.
Yeah.
You know, and I kind of am concerned, what's the message that sends to our citizens that have potholes for 3 months and 6 months, that have,
right.
You know, that we're dealing with safety issues, you know, true public safety issues that are at a critical juncture that we're working on and our crews are on as I'm sitting here talking to you right now.
Well,
so,
and you also,
so again,
I mean, you kind of hinted at
it. It's not adversarial.
Yeah.
It's not adversarial. It's not, we are not any presumption or headline you've read that says that we're not going to comply. That's not what we've said. We will absolutely comply with state and federal law. This was only going to be there for 6 months, I believe, when it went into 2020. It's 2025. So we have no issue with the decision. All we're saying is, hey, help us out. You need this done in 8 days? Just help us out and send us the bill.
And they virtually offered you that as an option. What might have been read as a threat was actually just, here's an alternative way to do it. And you kind of hinted at it, but if they do the work, they can't come back later and say the work wasn't done to our standards because they're doing the work, which
correct.
Is a nice additional,
correct.
You know, guarantee on the quality of the thing. The VO scooters. God, we're running out of time. We always run out of time. We need to do another town hall, another radio town hall. Anyway,
yeah,
VO scooters, Some people loved him. A lot of people hated him. Why? Why are we getting rid of him?
I'll give you the short version. Ultimately, we asked our residents. And yes, I've gotten emails because VO sent a text to every person who's ever used a VO and said that it's affecting tens of thousands of Pensacola residents. Now, they probably should have Wikipedia that there's only 55,000 city residents because I don't think 80% of our people are using them, number one. Number two is, and I shared this with them in our call when they were looking for a renewal, is if they would have put this much effort into talking to our residents about safety and being proactive about driving on the sidewalks and all of these things that clearly had not happened when I was on a call with them. As a matter of fact, it's so tone deaf that the request that came in for a renewal was, can we go back to 2 a.m. and can we go back to allowing driving on sidewalks in Palafox?
Oh, so they had no idea. They had no idea what was going on.
No idea.
Okay.
So yeah, what I would say is for their future contracts, if they'd spend less time sending texts out pleading with people to keep it and more time actually focused on the people who live here, then we probably wouldn't be in this situation. So, but I leave it open. Listen, I love the idea of manual bikes downtown, a bike share like that. I love multimodal aspects, as you know, Andrew.
Yep.
We're investing in so many of them, the built environment. But the bottom line is this is not functioning as is. And we were so far at a delta of what their expectations are, what ours are. And ultimately, this was generating about $20,000 a year to the city budget. So it's not, you know, so they might have been making a lot of money. But you know, this is not something that's coming back to the taxpayer for something that we were just turning right around and using that money to clean up the pits and, you know, where they go and deal with
that's
issues.
That's funny,
so,
yeah. Well, and,
so
you said, and you've said this is a pilot.
Us,
it's a pilot program. And so sometimes pilot programs yield a no. And, you know, that's fine.
Exactly.
I also hear you saying that you want rental skateboards downtown. So that's cool, along with the canal. That's excellent.
Exactly.
Maybe not exactly. All right. Lightning round. We always like to end with this. I think I know what the answer to this has to be, but I'm still curious. Have you ever stapled a buck at McGuire's or Hub Stacy's or, you know, anywhere that does this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, back when the bathrooms at McGuire's were right on the right behind the kind of the meat locker over there. That was my first dollar I got probably 35 years ago.
All and right. Wow.
I think I've gotten Destin and Panama City now, too, as well. The new one.
So lots of D.C. Reeves of wealth is invested in the walls and ceiling at McGuire's. Do you read the instruction manual on your car or any instruction manual, or do you just go to it when there's a problem?
Yeah. Once I'm not smart enough to figure it out, then I go, which usually means pretty quickly, you know, some kind of button I'm looking for. No. We're going to go ahead and we're going to give it a dry run, Andrew, normally, and then we'll see what happens.
Try it on your own, maybe YouTube, and then eventually, if you have to, go to the manual. Your porch light on at night, off at night, on all day long? What's your porch light protocol?
You know, I guess the outside lights are on. I think outside lights are on.
Okay.
But I'd like to say it was scientific or timed or something like that. I think it's just when we remember to hit it. But I think the intent is to have it on at night.
Okay. All right. Inviting, open, lit up, all of that. And the bugs love you too. Okay. Fair enough. D.C. Reeves, mayor of Pensacola, as always, sir. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
Absolutely. 5:52 on News Radio 92.3. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier, or maybe you're not. You know what? Honestly, I always say that, but maybe you're not yet thinking about it. Maybe you're like, I don't know, what has that got to do with me? Well, okay. Every relationship with a car goes through phases. You know, there's the excitement phase. Yes. Then there's the getting comfortable with it phase. Yeah. Then there's the, this car's starting to show some problems. And eventually there comes a phase where, you know, you start to worry if it's going to start in the morning. You start to just have to be spending so much money that, you know, you might be spending more money in repairs than it would cost you just to upgrade to a newer car. And that's the phase. And, you know, what happens if you're like me, and maybe you're not, but, you know, if you're like me, you get to that phase, but you don't really want to admit you're there yet. You want to pretend you're still in the okay phase, and you're not. You know, you don't really enjoy the car anymore. You don't really look forward to getting in that car. You kind of, maybe you're ashamed of that car, whatever the case may be. But it's the inertia of the relationship you have with the car. It is okay to break up with your old car. Go ahead, trade her in, you know, take it over to Frontier and say, hey, this is a car I got, but I'd like to get into something that's newer and is going to last me a long time. And that's what they specialize in. And they try to make it easy for you so that, you know, the breakup is easy, right? That's kind of their goal. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Ready to level up your future? George Stone Technical College trains students for real-world careers, fast. From welding to healthcare, IT to public safety, their hands-on programs get you job-ready in months, not years. And yes, financial aid and grant opportunities are available for all students. Affordable, local, career-focused? Visit georgestonecollege.edu. That's georgestonecollege.edu and take the first step today. You can change your life at George Stone.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Where are we going?
Train station.
You see, I'm Irish, but I'm not a leprechaun. You wanna fight, then step up and we'll get it on. You get a right to the grill. I'm white and I'm ill, a descendant of Dublin with Titanic skill. I ducked and I swing, next thing your jaw's broken.
I just don't want to interrupt
you. You've been choking on a fistful of nothing. Meanwhile, I've been puffing on a fat blunt. What punk, you don't know the half.
Man, that's good stuff. That takes me back a little ways. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Should I tell them the argument we're having off the air?
Yes, I really do think so. I think this is very
vital.
Watching
some story on Fox and Friends when they were in some Nashville barbecue place that you knew that you said is amazing. And then you said it's amazing just like every barbecue place in Texas. And I said, whatever. But I do agree that barbecue places have a large range of quality.
Right.
From amazing to, fine, it's edible. And I don't understand how that's true. It would seem to me like at this point in our human development, we would have perfected barbecue, that everybody would be able to do it really well. There's the Kiwanis Club in Wood River, Illinois, makes the best barbecue I've ever had in my entire life. They make it four times a year, and they make it by the quart, and you go buy it, and it's just, I mean.
But you haven't been to Texas.
I have been to Texas.
I know, but you didn't. Go to the places I would take you to.
Okay, fair. I mean, lack of experience is lack of experience.
That is lack.
But I can't trust your judgment. Here's how the conversation went. Because you like brisket.
Brisket's amazing.
Brisket's terrible.
What? I don't know why you say that. That's the most amazing meat.
Every time I have ever eaten brisket, and I have had lots of different versions of it, I think this is the cult of self-deception. I think that you people must like In-N-Out Burger, too. You know, it just doesn't taste good to me. Pulled pork, yes. Sliced pork, no. I mean,
but it's the same pork.
It's not the same.
Yes, it is. They either pull it, make it stringy, or they slice it.
Okay.
It's the same.
Let me give you a comparison.
Okay.
When I make corned beef at home, and I do this routinely because I love corned beef, I always, always, always serve it pulled shreds out. Like, I kind of pull the honeycomb of fat away and serve and just like the strings.
Mm-hmm.
Sliced, it's fine.
But that's corned beef.
But it's the same principle. It's the same meat.
Right.
And the typical way you say to cut corned beef is cross sections, slices. And I'm just telling you that sliced corned beef is fine and pulled corned beef is amazing. And they are the same meat, but they are not the same taste. My mouth is really happy in one case and my mouth is, fine in the other. And that's all there is to it. David Wayne is in the news. This is the off-air conversation that we have.
Exactly.
I have to actually, I love brisket when it's done right, but a lot of people don't do brisket right. And I've found that chuck roast is actually can taste as good or better than brisket when you smoke that. So that's my.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
I guess you wanted headlines.
Yeah, sure.
Is that why you came to me?
Sure.
Or did you want more opinions on barbecue?
No, we're good. You can move on.
I do love barbecue. I'd love to speak on that all day if possible. The Trump administration planning to take over Union Station in Washington, D.C. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy making that announcement yesterday, saying the station has fallen into disrepair. This is the latest move by the White House as part of their crime crackdown in the Capitol. That sounds like something that should really have the do-do-do stage.
Something dramatic. I mean, Muriel Bowser praised Trump. Yesterday. Thank you. Good. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Fired CDC Director Susan Monterez says she does not plan to step down. She'd been on the job for a couple of weeks when HHS posted on X that she was no longer the CDC director. But her attorneys say she's neither resigned nor been told that she's been fired.
And then what, four other senior staffers at CDC have also resigned,
yes.
I think,
yes.
Which is not great. For, you know, the infectious disease center for the greatest country in the world. It's not ideal.